show the way. Put the roosters on the field, they'll show you how to play. Here come the roosters, the best we've ever seen. The red, white, and blue.
Well, welcome Roosters fans to Origin Week, where we get the 2 points. And you are on Roosters Radio with Silky and Bush. A big weekend for our boys, of course, collecting a big win. And Silky, couldn't be more pleasing to get the 2 points this week.
Great result for us Roosters fans, yeah. 2 points in the bank. And look, it was good to just have a little bit of a weekend off the football, Bush, I've got to say. But really looking forward to tonight's show. We're going to be speaking to former Rooster and State of Origin star, played a couple of tests as well, Craig Wing, and we're going to have a one-on-one or a two-on-one, Bush, with our coach, Trent Robinson.
Mate, really looking forward to it. Robbo's had a week off. We've only got a couple of players in Origin, and something gives me the feeling that he's just getting set for for a big back end of the season. I know we need mathematically to win. I think it's 11 from 14. I think the fans are behind him. I think he's right there with the players, and I think we're going to see a really spirited Roosters. If we can keep reinventing ourselves, we'll be right.
Big game this week. We're taking on the Tigers. Plenty of fun to be had on game day as well. You get the opportunity with the young kids, or everyone for a matter of fact, to run on the field at the end of the match. There's a lot going on in the forecourt as well, Bush. So looking forward to this Sunday's match.
Well, mate, there's so much going on. Steggles, they're going to be sampling some of their finest products. Peugeot have a brand new vehicle there. Bryden's lawyers will be on hand to point you in the right direction for any legal advice in case you slip over in the forecourt, trip in the car park, or get attacked by a Tigers
rob
fan.
Rob a bank on the way out.
Anything like that. Bryden's are good for that sort of stuff. Hoyts will give you the scoop on all the new titles in the cinemas. I mean, what else do you want there? Infinity.
Maybe some financial advice for Infinity.
Mate, they're going to give you plenty of financial advice. And of course,
we know our supporters need that.
Well, 110%. Captain Rooster himself. QBE will have a photo booth in operation. Of course, UFC Gym, one of the big sponsors of the Roosters this year, Silky.
Yeah.
If you want to sort of refine some techniques.
Your choke holds.
Yeah, choke holds, anything like that. Arm bars, you name it. UFC Gym can take you on. And they'll be running a bit of a fitness test challenge for some cool prizes in the forecourt. There's numerous ways to travel to the home of the Roosters, of course. You can get shuttle buses directly from the club, buses, trains from Bondi Junction, get off at Central, or camp out the night before. We are playing the Tigers. There's no Laurie Nichols or Wayne Pearce anymore.
4 o'clock kickoff.
They need to get over it. Sunday afternoon footy, 4 p.m. kickoff. We are pumped. Well, welcome back, Roosters fans. And, of course, the man we all want to hear from, our fearless leader, our coach, Trent Robinson. Welcome to Roosters Radio. I think it's third or fourth time this year.
Hey, guys, how are we?
Yeah, we're well, thanks, mate, and better for having you on. Our fans are going to love this one. Robbo, first of all, just a message we keep getting from the fans. It's been a challenging year for us. How have you seen it to date?
Yeah, obviously, where we're sitting at the moment, a bit disappointing when it comes to results. We'd rather have a few more games in the bank. Especially after, especially after the first couple of weeks, we thought we might jag a couple there, but so I think results-wise, a bit disappointing. Good to see some of the players that have actually played this year. I've been very happy with some of the kids we've brought on. I think we've had as many debuts as I've had since I've been coaching. So that's a good thing for future. But, I think there's a bit mixed. There's short-term, it's not great. Long-term, it's good.
Robbo, what have you learned about coaching, through these lean times? What's it taught you?
Oh, look, I've been through this in smaller periods, not at NRL level, obviously. I've had a good run so far, but it does get back to the basics of why you coach. You understand what's important to you as a coach and why you get into it. Your motivation's pretty clear whether you're winning or losing. If it's to improve players, then you're on the right track, and if you love the day-to-day coaching, then it doesn't change whether you're winning or losing. So it's a good reminder of that. I've had quite a few wins over my time since I've been in, but it's good to sort of put some pressure and say, look, what is it about the job that I love? And that's why I've taken a lot of positives out of the start of the year as well, but still positive about the rest of the season.
So, Robbo, as our coach, what would you think the most pleasing aspects of the season would be?
Two things. The tightness of our group. I've seen groups separate, right from chairman to the strappers start to break away these times, whereas I think it's actually brought us closer together. Yep. So that's a good good indication of the club that we are. And also the amount of young kids that were brought on. Like I loved the experience that starting with Jaden Nikarima that he got and that he'll benefit from going to the future. He's a good player and he'll benefit from that. Obviously Latrell Mitchell, the development over 11 games has been incredible. We all knew he was a talent, but nothing's guaranteed in NRL, and to see his development. But Connor Watson, Vinny Luluai, Ryan Madison, Mitch Fry, Lonnie Vunakethi, from the other end of the scale, we've started to find some guys that are going to add some value. Maybe not during 24 rounds, but definitely between 4 and 5, and we're building up a stable group there.
Well, we have got a couple of players in State of Origin, of course, with Boyd, Aiden Guerra, and, of course, Blakey Ferguson. One on either side of the fence, but how do you see it going Wednesday night?
I was just thinking about that then, because I just read an article where Loz had a we keep shooting ourselves in the foot, I think was the article, where he kept saying, look, we keep hedging our bets when it comes to New South Wales. You know, we keep analysing the team and, you know, are they good enough and all that. And we all know that, like, it's easy to tip against New South Wales because Queensland is so good. But before this group of Queensland players came along, it never mattered. Like, it was never based on who was the best side. It was never based on, you know, who's got the best talent in State of Origin. It was all based on desire.
Yep.
And I think we forget that fact. So it's easy for me to sit here and say, look, Queensland are obviously the favourites and they'll most likely win, but that's not what it's based on. You know, if the New South Wales can find enough desire and gel enough, that, you know, they're a chance of winning this. And there's going to come a year where they're going to have to do it, and hopefully they've decided that this is the year.
Mate, finally, have you got a score prediction for us on Wednesday night?
Yeah, 40-0 Queensland. I don't know. I think they've had a. They always have an easy run, Queensland, into the early ones, because we're always picking on New South Wales and what they've picked.
Yeah.
I think if it's going to be wet and it's going to be pretty ugly, I'm going to sort of safely go. I'm going to go for New South Wales because I'm a Blues fan, but I'll go 18-16.
Wow. Okay. Robbo, Sunday we take on the Tigers. They've won a couple back to back. Where do we need to improve?
It seems like a lot of areas, but the main thing is patience for me. I feel like we're in a rush to try and win because we haven't won much. I feel like we're trying too hard to get a win in the first 20 minutes, and we're rushing our game. So I'd like us just to be a bit more patient. I'd like us to just complete our sets a bit more, kick the ball back to them. That boring stuff that fans hate, but we've been poor at. We've been actually pretty good at creating opportunities and breaking the line from our own end, but we just need to take our time a bit, you know, patience, and build some combos and put some pressure on West Tigers from their own end.
And finally, mate, have you got a message for the fans out there, our suffering fans at the moment? Geez, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah,
I won't accept that question, Rob, on your behalf. I wouldn't say for our fans. We'll cut that suffering bit out. Jeez, we're not Souths.
Look, I mean, the fan will decide whether they're suffering or not. You know, some fans will see it as opportunistic. The opportunities that we're creating at the moment through some of our debuts. Some fans will be suffering because they're walking into work and they're feeling the weekend's pain. And I think we're sitting in between the two. I think there's no doubt that we can see. Well, I can see, and the club can see future in the group that we're developing here. So I'd say hang tough and have some faith in that. And it's up to us as coaches and players to try and relieve the short-term pain that that the fans are suffering at the moment on Monday mornings. We need to make them feel better by getting a few wins up.
I think Silky's showing his hand. Robbo is part of that crew that's a little bit impatient. Maybe the fickle fan. And you know what's going to happen? When we have our next big victory, he'll be the first bloke next to the champagne cork. Yeah, look at it. I can see it from here. Mate, we want to thank you so much.
Silk's a good supporter. But they do sit in between the two, I think. And they should. That's what short-term gratification from the weekend's important for fans as well. But there is also future. So, on that point,
Robbo, I think we've had 11 debutants, my last count. You know, so I know we've introduced the most players this season. So for those fans that are kind of suffering, the future's looking bright.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that as well. We've made that choice. We haven't jumped into that. We've made a choice to get those guys out there and expose them because it will hold us in good stead in the future.
Mate, we want to thank you so much for coming on Roosters Radio. We know you're a busy man. It might have been nice to have a bit of time off with the family, but we want to thank you for coming on to Roosters Radio and good luck with the Tigers on Sunday.
All right. Thanks, boys.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Robbo.
All the best, Robbo.
All right.
Well, there you have it, fans. Heard it here from our leader, Trent Robinson, and mate, very, very well-coached football team, very well-led club. We're in good hands, Silky, and I think that's going to be a masterstroke of coaching on Sunday. I think Jason Taylor brings so much to our team.
As an assistant coach?
Yeah, with Trent Robinson. Yeah. We're big fans of Jason Taylor. We make no bones about that. He was very good to us at his time at the Roosters. I think you can see what he's doing with the Tigers. He's no slouch. He's a really good football brain. So this is going to come down to two coaches as well as the teams.
Yep.
I think they're really evenly matched at this point. Tigers are on the up. Roosters have had a week off. They know they need a win. It's going to be a great game. Sunday afternoon footy, 4 p.m. Let's let the fans know they've got an opportunity this week to get into the Roosters Radio hosted East Club. Sits on the eastern side of the field. It's a beautiful lunch afternoon. You'll get a nice steak or a chicken dish or something with a lovely entree. Amy and Tanika are up there. There's a business card draw. Great vantage point for the football. Afternoon sun in your face, bucket full of beer, Slav from behind the bar just filling your wine up. It's unbelievable.
I'm pumped for getting on the field, Bush.
Well, Roosters fans, the eagle has landed today. Or should I say the rooster has landed. We're bringing you the biggest names the Roosters have had in the past, and he's one of our favourites, Silky. I can't tell you who didn't love him and who wouldn't love him at our club now. We could do with him this weekend, I tell you. He has played 256 games of first grade. He's played 12 State of Origins, 16 tests, and for mine, off the field is the Magic Johnson of the Roosters because he created some magic for a lot of our fans. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Roosters Radio on debut, none other than the great Craig Wing. Wing, are you there?
Thanks, guys. I really enjoyed that intro.
Mate, only befitting, mate, only befitting. Wingy, it's great to have you back in Australia and a bit of a hiatus, of course. Been playing Japanese rugby for 6 years.
Yes.
Can you tell us how it was?
Yeah, it was a really good experience, actually. Time kind of got away from me while I was over there. I originally went for 2 years and stayed for six. So obviously I had a bit of fun over there and got to see a different side of life, which really gave me perspective on my life back here in Australia, which was really, really good.
Wingy, there must have been a complete sort of lifestyle change and a bit of a difference in the way our two cultures, I mean, everyone knows the wonderful, clean living the Japanese have. Yeah. Was it hard to adjust?
It was a little bit difficult. It was a complete shock. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect about Japan and everything that I was expecting. It was nothing like it. I mean, Japan is nothing like any of the other Asian countries. And they take great pride in that fact. And they obviously... Well, they see themselves as different to all the other Asians, which they are. But it was really good. Being a footy player over there, there's no fame or there's no recognition or anything, and you don't really play for teams, local area teams. You play for companies over there. So only the people that know you are the people that work at the company, but they're massive companies. And it was quite refreshing that side of things. I mean, walking down the street and nobody knowing who you are and just blending into the masses over there, which was good. I guess it was semi a soft retirement for me because I was still getting paid quite nicely, but I didn't Yeah, but I didn't have all that, all the other stuff that's associated with, well, what people think it was associated with footy players, and that's like all the recognition and all the pats on the back and all that kind of stuff.
Mate, how have you found settling back into Australia? Like, 6 years is a long time, and we've seen you briefly, you know, around the place. How have you settled back in?
Still settling in, literally still unpacking boxes. I only got back a couple of months ago, and it took about a month and a half for all our gear to arrive back from Japan. So that's not very fun, but it's really enjoying it. I mean, being away and living in a big city like that, like a big concrete city, it really gives you perspective on how good things are here in Australia, in particular Sydney. I mean, we've got the harbour, the beaches, you walk around and you breathe fresh air and you can smell the trees and all that kind of stuff. There's so much open space and greenery. It's before I went, it was probably something that I really took for granted, but not so now.
Mate, segueing into your time at the Roosters, I mean, in 2002, you bring us our greatest prize. You're a huge, important part of that
Scored
team.
Scored a try.
Yeah. Nice evening, Matt. You played in four grand finals. How hard is it to win one?
Oh, well, it's so bloody hard. I think there's as hard as you work, there's also that element of luck that comes into it as well. Just luck in that having everybody fit, everybody on the field, everybody in the right headspace at the right time. There's a lot to go in. And then I guess looking back, all those grand finals came to me when I was quite young. I look at guys like Freddie and even Minnie more recently that, you know, they had it when they were younger, but then they got one and they won one when they were older guys that, you know, had a long career and were able to look back and finish off on something like that. I'm sure it'd be a different feeling winning one as an older guy, as a young guy. But I was so lucky to play with so many good players. And in my younger days, I guess they carried me along for the ride quite a lot. And we had a really special combination of guys. We were really, really tight. And we were lucky that we stayed together for so long. It was certainly the most enjoyable years of my football career.
We're talking to former Roosters great Craig Wing. More after this break.
Radio Hub is Australia's premier podcasting facility. With high-quality sound equipment and production services, Radio Hub is a one-stop shop for all your podcasting needs. So, if you're ready to jump into the exciting realm of podcasting, contact Radio Hub on 0402 870 900 or email info@radiohub.com.au.
Wingy, one thing I do remember about that era is not only, you just touched on it briefly there, but you were a tight bunch of blokes. Like, and I know you're still pretty tight, you know, the names like Minnie you mentioned, Rico, yeah. Freddie, yeah. You know, Finchie, yeah. all those blokes, you're yeah. all still like, you know, very good mates.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think part of it is that we were tight at the time, but I think another part of it is that we experienced something so rare that it will always bond us together for the rest of our lives. So, you know, winning a grand final and for a great club like the Roosters, and we're all still pretty much in the area, which is pretty good. I think that just creates that environment.
Yeah, I love that. The thing I remember most about it, Wingy, is that, you know, guys like yourself and Minnie, although you were the younger of the brigade, you know, Freddie, we'd been building for so long, so you had, it's like the whole area was part of that, and we just loved it. I mean, Silky was on the bus going in to the club. I was standing there absolutely blind drunk next to Ricky Stewart pretending I was Buffer. So there's so much to like.
Those were the good old days. Weren't they? alcohol was permitted, and we mixed with all the locals and all the supporters. I really enjoyed those days.
Yeah, it was fun.
Very much.
Wingy, you tasted, you know, representation of both Australia and New South Wales, and, you know, did a great job at that as well. And not a lot of fans will remember this, Roosters fans, especially some of our younger ones. We're on the verge of a dynasty when you were playing at New South Wales, not dislike what Queensland had. I think we were 5-0 before they turned the corner.
Yeah, that's right. We had some good players, and I think the thing at that time was we had the dominant players of the competition, and And they were the form players of their team, but also of the competition in the dominant teams in the competition at the time. And to all come together in an Origin team, and we had the likes of, at different times, the likes of Joey Johns, who was the best player without doubt in the competition, and a legend like Freddie Fittler steering the ship at times, and then the other guys that I played with like Fletch and Rico and up-and-comers like Minnie and Danny Pedeiras and all those other guys. And Fitzy was there. We were all sort of, we had our combinations at club level and then took them into Origin level. And I think we had a really good run. We did have a really good run, but then things started to change. Guys bowed out, and they made a few changes. There was a few of us at the Roosters got a bit penalised. But I remember in 2006, I got dropped for the last game, and then I think we didn't win that year and haven't won since.
Well, mate, the whole time you've been in Japan, we haven't won a series. So
I know we won one.
Hopefully, you're the good luck charm. Mate, I want to ask I wanted to touch on Dylan Walker and the utility. Now, that was your position, the 14 jumper. Dylan Walker, a lot of people have, yes, no. What's your thoughts on his selection?
Initially, I thought I was the same as everybody else, just thinking about his form this year. But I think he's just been chucked into different positions, and he played at 5'8", and he's not really a 5'8", but every time he's got the ball, he's looked dangerous, and he's the kind of guy that you, if you chuck the ball to and there's nothing on, he can actually make something of nothing. And let's be realistic, we're not expecting him to go into a halves position and control the game when he comes on. He's basically just going to come on, and his job is going to have to be to try and wreak havoc in the opposition defence and take opportunities or make opportunities out of nothing. And I think he's got the skills to be able to do that. It's just, I'm just really interested to see when Laurie's going to put him on and in what position. If he, I don't think he would find it too hard just to get into hooker and distribute the ball and pick it up and run. But he could also just be like a roving lock, which is a position I played every now and then. And I didn't actually have a set role. I just had to back up, support, sniff around, just dart into dummy half if there was a quick play the ball and take off, or just call the ball if I had numbers on a particular side, or chase through a kick. So I think it could be a really good thing. He's got serious speed to burn, good step off both feet. All you really need at that level is a half jink through the line, get a quick play of the ball, and then bang, the momentum's turned and our boys are on the front foot, which in attack, I think he could be very good at. I don't know how he's going to go in defense. I haven't really seen too much of him defending. And if he is defending, he'll probably be defending in the middle. So they might, direct a bit of traffic his way, but you know, he's not out there to make big hits and sit people on their backsides. You know, he's just got to make his tackles and then make sure he's effective in attack. And I think a guy like him, I think he can do it.
Who do you see winning, mate?
I think New South Wales is looking pretty good for this year. I mean, we've got two games out at Homebush there, and Homebush, the Queenslanders don't really like that field. It's a little bit slippery, a little bit greasy, and this time of year the weather usually starts to turn a little bit sour. And we've tricked a pretty big forward pack. If we can get some good go forward off our forwards and good quick play of the balls and put Adam Reynolds in a good position so that he can get his kicks away, we might be able to just really pin them in their halves there. And I think with a bit of a wet track, it'll hold their attack up a little bit and then take a little bit of the edge off their passes and their ball handling, and it could turn into a real slogfest.
You've just touched on one of the players that we know that is making his debut tomorrow. You're in a similar position. You know, you've played in that position as well. What do you think will be going through Adam Reynolds' mind tomorrow night?
He's had a fair bit of big game experiences, and, you know, obviously he's won a grand final. So I think he would be trying to draw similarities to that and draw his memories from those experiences. But I'm sure a lot of people will be telling him that it's going to be a lot faster and a lot more intense, and it's not going to let up, and you've got better players coming at you. So I'm sure he'd have a few nerves, but I think he'll be just thinking about doing the simple things, really trying to narrow down what his role is and what is expected of him. I'm sure he'll be talking to Laurie a lot about that. And I think they'll be sharing the load, steering the team around the park. He'll be sharing it quite a lot with Janelle Maloney. So I think we're in good hands there. And if he, just as long as he doesn't try to overcomplicate things or try to do too much, I think he'll have a good go at it.
Mate, and now moving into the Roosters, you know, this year we've had some mixed results. You know, the boys can be guilty of probably trying too much. It's very easy for our fans, and Silky and I are at the top of the representation of them, to have their opinions. But to have a player like yourself who's been there, you know, carries a bit more weight. What are your thoughts?
I've watched quite a few of the Roosters games this year, and actually, one thing I've really noticed is how much Mitchell Pearce means to the team. And when he came back, and since he's been back, I think he's done quite a great job. But they did really miss him at the start of the year. And I think, you know, look, the Roosters, we've lost like a lot of guys that score a lot of the points and put a lot of the attack in on the last couple of years. So that was always going to be an uphill battle. But, you know, there's some new faces and then some new guys. I'm looking across the field and it seems like there's just still some guys that need to be a bit clearer about what their role is and really understand what their positions are and take ownership of those positions. But, you know, I think they've got a tough task for the rest of this year, but regardless of where you are on the ladder, there's always something that can be achieved out of what you're trying to do. Should it fall into a situation where the finals is impossible, well then there's a great opportunity to rebuild and let the players, the younger players coming through, grow, and then put the team in a better shape for the following year.
Yeah, mate. When you played, who was your favourite player?
My favourite player to play with was probably Freddie Fittler. When I was a younger guy, he was an idol of mine. And when I played, I always had great respect for him. He always delivered whenever we needed him. And he was a very calming influence, particularly on me. I defended with him most of the time. I defended with him outside me and Craig Fitzgibbon inside me. And those two, I always felt so safe, so strong, so confident.
No wonder you still look so good. No wonder you look terrific, even in retirement. I didn't know that stat. We better get David. We better get David Middleton on the phone here, mate, and find out how many tackles you made.
No. Well, actually, Fitzy and I did all the 30 tackling. That's
what I thought. Right. So I thought that. Fitzy down low, winning up top.
Freddie was actually really good because he'd just give me a little bit of encouragement here and there, and I'd get all energetic and think, okay, Freddie, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I'd just make another 20 tackles. He was very clever like that. But yeah, Freddie was really good. He was just such a calming influence on the rest of us. And in all honesty, Freddie evolved as a player as well. I mean, he was a bit of a scallywag when he was younger, but certainly when he was older, he was a lot more mature, and he really played that senior role. And you'd look at him to sort of get a little bit loose, but no, he'd sort of pull his head in and go in a different direction. So look, I used to do that, but I'm doing this now, and these are my new priorities in life. And it really, I really gained quite a higher respect for Freddie as he got older as well.
Yeah, he's a great man. He comes on here quite a bit. You know, we have a bit of fun with Freddie, and he's such a great judge of the game. And as fans, you know, we have great respect for both you guys, but certainly Freddie is a leader. And, you know, we're probably, you know, a little bit older than you, but he was that type of leader. He commanded respect from the fans, the opposition players, and his own peers, which is wonderful.
That's right. Also, like Freddie was the kind of guy that, as a leader, he just led with his actions, and he wouldn't say too much. He was not one for big, long-winded speeches or trying to motivate everyone with his words. But when he did speak, he listened, and everything that he said carried weight.
No, that's great. Mate, any regrets when you're at the club? Anything that, you know, you'd look back on?
No, I try not to regret things because they lead you to where you are and make you the person that you are today, and they put me on the adventure that I've had, and I've been very, very lucky. But if there's one thing I probably look back on, it's it was maybe that period in my life when I signed with the Rabbitohs. I left the Roosters, went to the Rabbitohs, and in particular that press conference that came about. I was a little bit blindsided by that because I was my head was still spinning over the fact that I was going to eventually leave the Roosters, which was not what I wanted at the time. But I guess, look, I don't hold anything against the Rabbitohs, because if I was in their position, I probably would have done exactly the same thing. But I just thought, looking back now with hindsight, and hindsight's always a wonderful thing, but looking back in hindsight, I thought that press conference was bad taste. It probably, if I was a Roosters fan, I would have found it quite hard to swallow. And it just didn't look good, and it definitely wasn't in my best interests. And I don't really know how to explain it, but I guess there's no excuse for it. It's just that I was poorly advised at the time. I didn't have a manager, and I was, you know, admittedly I'd signed with a new team, and I was just trying to do I did what they told me was the right thing to do. But in hindsight, I think it was bad taste, and if I could have my time over again, I probably wouldn't have done something like that. But in saying that, like I realized it soon after, and you know, regardless of whatever happened, one thing that people can never take away from me is that every single game I played for the Roosters, I always put my body on the line and gave it 100%. And if anything, from that point onwards, I think my form for the Roosters that year got better and better, and I was very happy with my year.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, mate. I can tell you from a fan's perspective, people don't look back on Craig Wing and think about that press conference itself. I do remember it. I remember the timing. I remember the situation. And it was probably awkward, more awkward for you than it was for the fans. And, mate, we look back on bringing us the 2002 grand final. We look back on you playing in every single position in that team. Yeah. We look back on you just being part of a culture that we just love. I mean, we're just the fans, right? Our fans loved it. But it's great of you to bring it up. I'll tell you how we can help you, though. Silky and I come up with something for Robbo. We've got a nude painted photo of course, Uncle Nick Politis, and our players say a prayer when they've sinned. Our Godfather, we have sinned against you, right? And you just repeat that prayer a few times overnight. But so we'll send you a copy of that photo. It sits, it's like an Archibald prize. You just put it above your bed, and you just get on your knees, you kneel down and look up at our Godfather, Nick Politis. Our Godfather, I have sinned. And, mate, you say that five times, and it was all cleared.
Actually, it's funny you say that. I actually had breakfast with Uncle Nick today, just to, you know, just to reconnect and talk about how things went down and what was happening back then, and just looking back with hindsight. And he said quite similar things to you just then. And
get on your knees and pray.
Yeah, mate, he's a wonderful man. He comes on Roosters Radio, and I think, like Freddie, you know, he's an off-field leader. And what people don't realise, if they don't know Nick Politis' story, and you know better than others, and so does Silky Knight, what he has done for this club, what he has done for our game, no wonder he's got the accolades he has. And without great leadership off the field, and, you know, we're so pleased to have a bloke like that. He comes on this show, and it's the biggest show of the year. Yeah. Everyone listens in. And it's just great experience. You cannot beat that. But, mate, we're so glad you're back at the Roosters. We're so glad. We hope that that meeting with Nick might have come with a brown paper bag, and it's not necessarily rolling it like a couple of the meetings he's at, and you're part of the team somewhere.
Oh, mate, I've got the Roosters printed on the inside of my bicep like all the other guys from the 2002, so it'll be a part of me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, flying.
Good on you, mate.
Well, Wingy, we want to thank you so much for coming on. We love the insights into Origin. Just finally, for the punters out there, and we've got a few, do you have a score for us, New South Wales, Queensland, on Wednesday night?
Yes, I'm just going to pluck something out of the air, and I'm thinking it's going to be close, so I'm going to say 12-10 New South Wales.
You heard it here, fans, first. You're on Roosters Radio with the great Craig Wing. Great to reminisce. Wingy, thanks so much for spending time with Silky and Bush.
Cheers, boys. Thanks very much for having me.
Welcome back to Roosters Radio. I'm Bush. Big show tonight, mate.
Mate, absolutely loved it. The fans are going to just eat alive that Craig Wing interview. We love to reminisce as Roosters. Great memories. You know, he talked about Freddie Fittler. He talked about his time at the club. Talked about defending with Fitzy. State of Origin. There's so much to love about this interview. And, of course, mate, Coach Robbo, as always, super impressive. You know, if I had to have a word to sum him up, it's accountability. He's a bloke that constantly puts his hand up. And I can see now why, you know, he's got a lot of accolades over the years. He had success at the start. One thing, you know, that I think people need to realise is he's worked really hard to build Trent Robinson. He didn't just take over a good football side. He has built what he's achieved. And you can see that he's making some tweaks and changes. You mentioned we've got 11 players. Mate, the future is exciting for the Roosters. And the results this year, we're expecting a win this week, and we need one.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, it's looking bright.
And one other thing, Bush, is you know that the players want to play for him. You know, the players love him as a coach.
Certainly do. And may long live the Robbo Empire.
You've been listening to Roosters Radio with Silky and Bush. Speak to you next week.
The best we've ever seen.